Blog Talk Radio.
I can't even help it. Gail Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk. Oh, my goodness. Guys, this is a great show, and I'm really happy. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle. That means you make it, okay? The number one drug-free foundation in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation, not a sandy one, to stand on, and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let us talk to DKP. And if you don't know who she is, you ain't been paying attention to social media, because she's been blowing it up. And we are talking about toxic growth. But first, we got to talk about our co-host, Dez. Dez, how you doing?
What up? I'm good. I'm still having visions of driving through ice cream in a Mack truck.
Me too.
Hey,
willpower.
That's my mouth watering.
Don't stick your head or finger out of the window.
Love vanilla, Kaylin. Woo! But I am good. I'm glad to be here tonight. Glad to be here with both of you. A lot of exciting stuff going on. I know that Dr. Props has had just tons and tons and tons of things going on, and we are going to talk about that here in a second. But Kaylin, I understand that you have got an event coming up over the next couple of days, and then also this weekend. So what is it that you've got going on?
Well, we have the P4P booth at the Arnold, which is basically groundbreaking. I was very surprised that happened. And then the weekend after that, we have the event for Brian McCabe doing the poser seminar, much of the mentoring that we have spoken about in the past with John Parrish and Rich Feliciano. So I'm happy that these things are growing and happening. And, you know, as busy as DKP has been, I think we're trying to match her, if not parlay it some way, to make it even better for what she's doing. I'm telling you, this is just exciting times right now. You think the season had already started. Giddy!
Yeah. Hello. What's going on, guys?
Well, hey, you know what's up. And for our newer listeners, why don't you give them a quick rundown of who you are and what you do?
Okay. Well, I'm Corey Probst. I'm the Vice President and Wellness Director of the Diet Doc, Permanent Weight Loss. And I am in San Diego, California right now, and it's sunny and warm and nice, and I'm in a tank top, and at some point I'll stop because I'm making you guys jealous.
Probably making a couple of male listeners salivate themselves. I don't
know what to worry about. No, so yeah, that's what I do. I manage the general population nutrition and weight loss programming here, and have the Mental Edge and Peak Performance Mindset program as well, where we help people to optimize their minds for sustainable and enduring change.
Yes.
Doesn't that
and
sound fun?
Yes. Sounds amazing. And that is a lot of what we spoke with on our last show. So we had Dr. Carey with us on it last month. And if you didn't get a chance to catch that, you're going to want to check our archives and listen to that show, because there was a lot of great information in there, especially about the psychology of competing, the psychology of weight loss, and just a bunch of nuggets in between that you're going to want to be sure that you take part in and get educated. But
yeah, thanks, Dez. That was a fun one.
Yeah, it was a fun show, and I was so glad that we had you. It was a great intro to you and Diet Doc and what you do, and that aspect of competing and weight loss, meaning the psychological part of it, which we don't give enough attention to. And we had some great follow-up questions to that show that I want to toss your way, and because we always promise, if there's follow-up questions, we're going to get them to the right spot, and what better way than to do it tonight. So one of the first questions that Kaylin and I received was, you know, how can a competitive individual, you know, once they are done on the stage. Get away from that let down, I'm too fat, I've gained weight, ugly feeling that some might have after the lights of the show have gone down.
Yeah, you know, I think that let down feeling itself is really common and expectable. I mean, take any sort of big event, take a wedding, for example, take getting done with your PhD, take any sort of event that has required a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of determination, a lot of focus, and when it's over, there is typically the tendency to have that let down, that sense of now what, that sense of, mm-hmm. okay, so what am I going to do at this point? Because so much of my life was taken up by, and so much of my focus was centered around this, that now I have to transition in some way, right?
Yep.
So there's that, and then there's the dimension of how you are going to perceive it. And I think that mm-hmm. is the key piece of this that competitors really need to be processing and reflecting upon. The ugly is a perception. The ugly is a label whoever is experiencing this is choosing to kind of land upon and believe. I think it always behooves us to have individuals in our lives who we can kind of process ahead of time what we mm-hmm. might experience. It's not abnormal. It's not bad to have that ugly feeling. What it really is about, okay, I have this now. This is what I'm experiencing. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to believe it? Am I going to feed it? Or can I learn to notice it, recognize that it's there, look at it, and then redirect my attention in a way that's in my service? And we talked about this a little bit in the previous interview, but it really is about being able to recognize our tendency to go there and then ask, how do I want to respond to this?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because in many regards, I think we get into this position where we don't believe we have a choice. Like it's all, and we go into this place of it's never going to change. It feels permanent when it really isn't. It is temporary. It will change if we acknowledge it and we look at it and face it. And ideally, we have people around us who are getting us out and getting us involved in new things and engaging and helping us engage in a healthy level of distraction. Distraction is not all bad. So,
no. Especially when I think it's tied to destructive thinking like that, you know, just to kind of clear the brain and distract yourself from having those thoughts and focus on something else.
Well, there's that. Yeah, absolutely does. And I think, you know, we get into when we're competitors, we're always looking at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We get into the mode and the mindset of what is wrong with me? What do I need to fix? What's too fat?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I need to be leaner? And it's always about more, more, more. And it really comes down to never being good enough. Ultimately, the judges, too, are telling us, like, here's what's wrong with you and here's what you need to fix. And so what we feed is what we're going to believe. What we think repeatedly is what we're going to keep thinking. So it's no surprise that when we get done with the show, we keep thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
Anything we think and anything we do, though, I think everyone needs to remember, has the potential to become a habit. Positive or negative, whatever we do, whatever we think, whatever we say, whatever we feel has the potential to become a habit. So what are we going to feed?
Yep.
Wow.
Feed the negative
can I feed for a second?
Sure.
I just, because she just brought up something I hadn't thought about, and I've seen it so many times, I can't believe it just flew right over my head. And that is that I've seen people more ready for the after show party so they can talk mm-hmm. to the judges to find out just exactly what's wrong. And you don't see that much energy in them during the whole show.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, Kaylin. I got to go find out what I can do better. I got to go find out what they didn't like so that I can fix it. It would be amazing. Yeah. It would be amazing if we approached the judges and the judges approached this in a much more positive way. I'm going to go find out what I really excelled at. I'm going to go find out what I kicked butt at. You know?
And it is so true, because I even remember having feelings of disappointment when the only thing the judges really had to talk to me about was my suit color.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? I made this effort to come and talk to you, and you want to tell me that I need act? And here's what the two things that they mostly told me, and I guess I should have felt good about it, but I didn't, because I was expecting something else. I expected them to tell me what was wrong. They told me that I needed a different suit color and that my bikini uh-huh. bottom should have been smaller.
Uh-huh.
And that's
well, because what have you been working on for however long, for the last 6 months? What have you been working on? Fixing your body, like making my body different. And so, of course, you're expecting and wanting and needing feedback on that. And, you know, when we look at, because I think it's important to say, too, that this does not happen with everyone, that a lot mm-hmm. of people can compete and not go into that negative spiral afterwards. And
yes.
I think it's those individuals who are deliberate and realistic about it and think about it beforehand and go into it with a healthy level of optimism and don't necessarily focus solely on the outcome, but they're approaching it in a much more process-oriented way, like, what am I learning? How am I growing? Not just about my physique, like, not my biceps or my glutes and my quads, but how am I growing in terms of willpower and self-control? Like, how is my mindset evolving as a result of going through this process? You know, that was part of the fun for me, was as I was prepping, was noticing, like, because when you're deep, deep, deep into a diet, you're more tired. You don't have the level of resilience that you typically do. And so noticing, you know, my tendencies during that time was really interesting to me. Like, I would shop a lot more, and not for food, because I knew that wasn't real safe, but, like, I would buy more things on Amazon, and I would go shop, and I hate shopping. Like, I would go buy clothes, so it was like that was a substitute for the discomfort and for needing to distract myself when, like, I was hungry or whatever. But it's that kind of stuff where, you know, you learn about yourself. If you can focus on the process of it instead of just the outcome, how I look, what's wrong with me, what I need to fix, how can I do better next time? But it is. It's an attentional redirect, I like to call it. So when we notice we're going down the rabbit hole and that negative spiral, it's the noticing, and then we have to ask, okay, what am I going to do? Do I want to continue down the rabbit hole, or do I want to upward spiral now? Because I'd rather be in that place most often.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a choice. That's a choice.
Yes. Well, I'm glad, because, you know, the season's pretty much getting ready to start. And
mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you are so willing to take this on while it's just a worry and not a demon. Because, you know, it does progress, like you said. It does have its levels, and you can either walk it up or take the escalator down. And
mm-hmm.
this is basically the best time. I had, you know, thank God that this coincides so well with how things are running. But I really appreciate you taking it so people can understand, you know, it happens, but it shouldn't just take over your life.
Yeah. It's normal. It's normal. I mean, look at the evolution of the brain. I mean, we have this tendency to think negatively. We do, because we evolved in a place where we needed to protect ourselves. So we were always looking out. It's called the negativity bias. We were always looking out for what could harm us, what could hurt us. And so
fire burn, lightning hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So it is. It's normal, it's expectable, and it doesn't mean that we have to go there. The other thing is, so we have this stuff going on the inside. You know, we have our minds and what we're thinking and what we're choosing to attune to and the noticing and the recognizing. And then we have the outside world. So we don't have to go talk to the judges. We can choose what to ask them. We can choose what to listen to. We can choose who we surround ourselves by. We can choose whether we're going to look at Facebook 50 times a day and compare our bodies to everyone else's on there. All of these things are choices. And it's interesting, you know, when I am working with competitors and I ask them, like, so talk to me about what you do on a daily basis. Like, how do you spend your time? Who do you surround yourself by? And I hear all of these things, and I'm thinking, well, okay, then this makes perfect sense. Do you see how each one of these behaviors can lead to the negative thought processes that lead to the ruminating and thinking this thing over and over again and this ugly feeling that we started talking about in the very beginning? So I think we need to look at it from the internal and the external perspective.
Yep.
And we have choices.
We do. And I mean, that's just a question that, I mean, we could have a whole show on that question. It's just pretty deep. And the level of choices, the number of choices, it's never ending and has so many twists and turns. But I'm going to move us on to the next question.
Yep.
Because we have some more. And I want to be able to get to messages. And I'm not trying to say you talk too long, because I'm totally not. That is
whatever, sister.
Whatever. That is a tough subject. But in all fairness, we got some other listeners saying, hey, I got questions.
Let's get on with the show. Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. I'm ready.
All right. So next question is, so coaching is such a big part of what you do at Diet Doc. You do nutritional coaching, psychological, emotional, you do strength training. And so one of the questions that our listeners had is, how do you know if you are getting valuable coaching? You know, how do you avoid the worthless coach?
I love this question. This is an awesome question, whoever asked it. We could make a whole show on this question, too.
You got 2 minutes, too.
2 minutes. Okay, here we go. So, countdown begins. Worthless coaching. So, I would say that look at some of these factors. Is there pressure towards an outcome? Or is there an absence of pressure? Is your coach almost acting in a way where there are punishments or contingencies in place, as opposed to what we talked about, offering choices, asking for your feedback? What do you think about this? So here is how I see us maybe moving. I think maybe this direction could be a good idea. What do you think based on your experience? Is your coach asking you questions like that? Is your coach involving you in the strategy that you're engaging in? He or she should be. Or is he or she setting your goals for you? It should not be like that. Is your coach involving you in the tasks, in the responsibilities? Is your coach asking you to reflect upon the experience and asking for your feedback so that the process can be tailored to you? is your coach encouraging self-reflection and a level of interest instead of, for example, handing you a meal plan and saying, do not deviate, you must eat this way or it won't work. It can't and should not work like that. Look for wording from your coach like should or must or else. Your coach should not be using words like that either. It should not be about your coach.
Oh, my God.
The process should be about you. So if you're getting the sense that you're not necessarily being taken care of or, like, the roles are reversed in some way, like, they're getting their needs met in a way that is kind of taking the focus off of you, that's a red flag. So a couple of other things. How much time do I have, Des? I'm creating a checklist for this person who asked.
Yes, you are. It's all good.
So what we know is that, you know, all of those things that I just listed are representative of what's called autonomy. And autonomous support is what you need to look for from a coach. Really, what that represents is choice. Do you feel like you have a choice with your coach? Then you want to also look at whether your coach is kind of working with you in a way that challenges you a little bit, just a little bit, and gets you to move just a little bit closer in a way that maybe makes you slightly uncomfortable. Because, guys, and I don't think, because a lot of people will come to a coach and say, and I've experienced this as a coach, say, you know what, I don't want to think, I just want a meal plan. And while I can understand that desire, it's not going to bode well, typically. I can give you a meal plan, and then you're going to run out of green beans and not know what to eat. So a meal plan's not going to work so well. Tilapia only lasts so long, and you're probably going to get tired of it, so you need to know how to substitute a different protein source. You know what I mean? But with a meal plan, there's no learning that occurs. And I think with really good coaches, we want the people that we're collaborating with to feel like they're learning, they're growing, they're evolving. And when they move on, when they get done with the show, when they move forward, they can take those new skills and begin applying them in other areas of their lives. So a great coach will not be judgmental, will include experiences in the coaching that allow for mastery of new skills, and will provide a lot of positive feedback. That's how we begin to feel competent, is when we receive positive feedback. Who wants to work with a coach who is always criticizing and blaming and putting us down? That's a worthless coach right there. So I know that was part of the question. What's worthless coaching? That's worthless coaching. Cold interactions, lack of involvement, a coach that's really demanding and kind of almost coercive, that's worthless.
Wow.
We want,
I love that.
Yeah. We all need coaches. If we want to be persistent, if we want to be consistent, if we want to feel motivated, if we want to feel empowered when we're moving towards this big goal, we need empathy from our coaches. We need to feel respected. We need to feel like they are acknowledging the work we're doing and the effort we're putting into it. So those are all things that I would look for in a coach.
And Carolyn, I know you've seen a lot of different things in this area as well. Do you have anything that you would want to add to what Dr. Corey has put out there?
Yeah, I'd like to help out with that DKP statement. It's just wonderful to hear such great advice in these. But I am really happy that she brings up the point about interaction. Because if it's a controlled environment, there's no growth and no learning. And it hurts when people make that statement, just tell me what to do. because then there's no growth. I said you actually hinder a person, and you're not helping.
Mm-hmm.
So when BK Fee is saying that, I'm loving it because you really have to be that person for that person, and it's so much involvement. And I was talking to Leaf about this, and we laughed and joked about it. I said, if people understood what they were asking somebody that likes to help somebody, it's an engaging process, and we want that interaction because that's how we know it's working.
Right.
You know, it's like no teaching is one-sided, and I think people, you know, seem to forget that in the process of growth. Teaching and learning are symbiotic. They run together back and forth. So, DKP, thanks so much for bringing that up. And please understand that, you know, you're talking about somebody's life. Let's be honest about it. Their health is their life. If they're not healthy, then they're not happy. So, you know, we have to always remember that. And thanks for asking me at this.
No, I love that point. Yeah, it is. It's much, much more than just a coach for a show. Like, it's so, so much more than that. What we do with that individual that we're working with affects them in so many different areas. So, yeah, thank you for making that point, Kaylin. It's very, very true. It's sad when, you know, we're contacted by individuals who have had really negative experiences and are just they're looking for connection. They want connection so badly. They want to feel heard. They want to feel understood. And so to be able to provide that it's a special experience.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes.
So definitely a lot of good points there. And I do like the point, too, that they need to be able to move on their own because they learned something. So nothing like having a coach that keeps all of the secrets to themselves. At the end of the coaching, you're still not sure what it was that you took away from it. So
yeah, exactly. So there's the coaching side of it, which is I want to promote and foster this increase in skills and competence within the person I'm working with. And then there's the coachee, the person who is being coached, approaching the process with the mindset of, I want to grow from this. So how can I take as much as I can and learn and ask questions and be curious as opposed to just tell me what to do?
Yes.
Yep, and I definitely think that gets back to the empowerment piece that you were talking about. And now I'm going to empower us to move on to the next question.
I love these segues. That's power.
I know.
Right there.
We haven't even got past the last show yet, and I'm like, we have new stuff to get on with. Okay, so here we go. Now, so this question is, how can you make sure that competing is worth the effort? Or, you know, how do you, I guess a better way to look at it is, you know, how do you establish the right mind frame so competing will be worth the effort?
Yeah, it's a great one. And I think all of us are, you know, we want to make a decision that is going to be the right one, right?
Yeah.
We want to make the decision that's going to be good and that's going to feel good. And I think if we go into it thinking that we're probably going to be disappointed. I think we need to go into it hoping for the best, but expecting the worst. And I'm serious here. Like, hope for the best, do your best, work hard, approach it with this, with a sense of curiosity, with an openness, with this approach orientation instead of avoidance orientation, like I need to avoid all discomfort. That's not the greatest way to go into a goal. Go into it like that and expect that it's going to be painful sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who has pursued a goal and that has taken a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of willpower, self-control, knows that they have fallen down a lot and had to get back up, dust themselves off, ask some tough questions. And it's so, and here we get back to this sense of normalcy in that it's normal mm-hmm. to say every now and then, do I want to continue?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Should I give up? is this right? Like, why am I doing this? You know,
yeah.
When we look at any sort of change process, we come back to the process. And it's cyclical. We may initially be super galvanized and excited and motivated to do it, and we jump right in because we're expecting really, really, really great things. It can't be perfect for the whole way there. The route's
yeah.
going to have bumps. We're going to have to take some detours. You know, we're going to have rock slides, and a tree might fall in the road, and we have to go around it or chop it up or whatever. And so, yeah, it takes the ability to recognize that it's going to be uncomfortable sometimes. And you know what?
Yeah.
I'm willing to endure
yeah.
that. Because guess what? When it's uncomfortable is when we're going to ask the most reflective questions, typically, if we don't give up. A
mm-hmm.
lot of times it gets hard, and then people have the tendency to say, well, screw it. What the hell?
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, it's not for me. No, it's not about it not being for you. It's about it just being a bump in the road. And anyone
yeah.
on the planet could have this same bump in the road. And so how are you going to respond to it?
And that's it's a good segue into the next question, because a part of that, all of that is tied into expectations. What are your expectations for what is going to happen and how it's supposed to happen?
Uh-huh.
And the question that is being asked is, for the natural body, what are realistic expectations? Which is a tough question, because every natural body is different. But what's the real
exactly.
expectation
there
for
you go.
A natural competitor?
And I think expectations
so.
Come into play, and standards, because of comparisons.
Yeah.
Well, not with yourself, but with other people, oftentimes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we're looking around at these other bodies and thinking, I need to look like that. And Des, you nailed it. It's every body is different. Every natural body is different. So like this weekend, you know, I live at slightly under 10% body fat. I live there. I'm comfortable. If someone asked me, like, how much exercise I do, some people would probably think, God, why do you do that much cardio? Like, I do a lot of cardio, but I love it. It's not an obsessive thing. I really, really enjoy it. I also weight train
yeah.
a lot. I could live lower. I could live at a lower body fat than that and be miserably depressed, not have any food flexibility at all, and feel like I'm dieting all the time. Is it worth it? Not to me. Not to me. It maybe would be for some other people, but I would venture a guess that it's in cases like that where there are these very, very high, unrealistic expectations and standards. And they're trying to maintain something not because they necessarily like it or they feel good and healthy there, but because they think they, and here comes this word, should.
Mm-hmm. That's a powerful
what
word.
What are you laughing about?
I have no idea what's going on over there. But it has to guess it has something to do with snickerdoodle.
No.
With what?
No, I just like her emphasis on that. That was perfect.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I am not perfect, so let's just throw that that out there. And, you know, that I think goes right along with that question that you asked, Des, which is I'm not perfect. We all need to recognize that we're not perfect. We can't be perfect. We're never going to be perfect. And if we're constantly striving for that, we will be miserable people.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be real. Let's be real.
I honestly,
it's hard to like a person. How should I say this? It's difficult to like a perfect person. I don't think I could like a perfect person, because if they're perfect, like, there's no nooks and crannies and nuances and strangeness and wacky tendencies, and that's what I love about people. If everyone had a perfect body too, like, how boring would this world be?
True.
I think
what it comes down to is, you know, like you said, if you can ask why and have a legitimate answer, that's when you know you're going the right way. But, you know, it should always be a why in there somewhere. You know, why am I doing this? Why,
sure.
Why is it so hard? You know, why am I not pushing?
What is my motivation?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What is my motivation? Yeah.
Yeah, you are on the Hollywood.
The why is imperative, and sometimes it's really, even for me, it's really difficult to answer. So the question of what's motivating me, what is my motivation, is sometimes easier for me to work into. And if it comes down to it being about someone else said I need to, someone else said I should, someone else thought this was a good idea.
Yes.
Sometimes the other question
goodness.
I like to ask is, okay, if there were no one else on the planet, zero other people, what would I do?
Make it, girl. Make it plain. Yes.
If Dez disappeared off the face of the earth and Kaylin was gone and I didn't have any pressure from you two, what would I choose? I would talk forever.
I love it. Oh, my goodness. That's just because there's just so much good stuff that we need to get from you. We don't have a long time. We just need to have more shows.
Yeah.
But, so... now I have to refocus here. Sorry, guys.
Okay. Regroup.
Regrouping.
Breathe.
Clearing the throat.
Deep breath.
Okay, so one of the areas that I know we were going to talk about tonight of accessing our exponential potential.
Ooh, yeah. Don't you love that phrase?
What?
Exponential potential.
Potential. What does that mean?
That to me means, like, accessing the possibilities, baby. I think we limit ourselves.
Yeah.
I think we think in a very closed way most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
We limit our choices. We don't see things from a broader, wider, longer, deeper perspective. We think we have the answers when, I mean, the answers could be many. So accessing our exponential potential requires an expansion of our minds, an expansion of the questions we're asking ourselves, an expansion of the individuals that we surround ourselves with and the questions we ask them, reflection of maybe the assumptions that we make about ourselves, about our lives, about the circumstances we're in, that close the door to the exponential possibilities, because there are many. We're walking around with blinders on a lot of times.
And why, I mean, obviously, we all have our different experiences. We all get caught up in our own little world. So
yeah.
How do we get past that mindset I mean, I know you've got, you know, you talk about mindset, motivation, power of attention. I mean, how do you put all of this to work?
Yeah, well, I mean, so often we think in a distorted way. So using all or nothing sort of thinking, always, never, looking at things from that it's never going to change, that I'm the only one experiencing this, making assumptions about things when we don't have, when we need more information. Minimizing or maximizing things, you know, making a molehill into a mountain, for example. These are all the distortions that we tend to engage in. Yeah.
Can I ask one? Yeah.
Please.
Okay. This is a simple one. It's a simple gym, and this is so basic it's almost funny, because this is the thing that just makes me laugh 100 times over. The person who comes to the gym and they have their favorite machine and somebody's using it and they can't use it and they got to get to gym, get out of gym because their whole day has been ruined.
Screw it.
Instead of just walking around and seeing a different machine that could work just as effective, but it's not normal to what they're doing.
Right. And, I mean, seriously, Kaylin, I mean, so many things could be contributing to that. So this right here, this example right here is a great example. We are assuming that this person who has this routine has the capacity and the competence and the knowledge to go look for another machine and know what to do with it. We have no idea.
That's right.
We're making an assumption. That's one of those blinders. I would love for the people, instead of having a tantrum, to be able to do that as well. Except in a moment like that, I mean, we have to be able to, okay, notice, I'm really irritated right now. I'm watching this person get all bent out of shape because I'm using the machine and they can't, or whatever it is. And there are a number of other possibilities that could be affecting why this person just walked out of the gym.
Yes.
So this
and my job is to keep them there.
What's that?
I said my job is to keep them there. So usually I just get up off the machine and go to the one that I know that works just as good.
Well, yeah, because you know which machines work well.
I
would say that the average gym goer probably doesn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so that's when, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so, I mean, accessing the possibilities and recognizing, like, going back to the question, you asked, how do we get out of that mindset? And it's noticing, like, even in moments like this, why am I thinking this way? And am I aware of all of the other possibilities and answers?
Oh, yeah.
And so here's our signal. Like, Kaylin, you said, I get, like, this makes me laugh, or I get irritated, or, you know, with a lot of people, it's like, this is triggering for me. We hear that word. That's a trigger for me. If you are feeling triggered in some way, that is a great signal or cue to stop and be like, okay, what's happening here? What kind of rabbit hole am I going down? Am I thinking in a distorted way right now? What are all the other possibilities?
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah.
So it's emotion often. It's emotion, it's feeling that we learn to recognize and say, oh, there it is. And when it's there, then you can be like, okay, here is where I need to ask if I need to access the other possibilities right now. Because I am thinking in a very rigid way right now, probably.
Yep, I need to remember that question when I'm dealing with my teenage son.
Yeah.
Do I need to access the other possibilities right now?
Yes, because we get used to responding, thinking, doing in a certain way, and it becomes habitual. You know, we've repeated it so many times, it becomes automatic. That's not to say we can't change it, though. We just have to begin noticing that automaticity and then breaking the sequence of events. And like with your son,
and
I don't know.
Which
word?
The exponential.
Exponential potential.
There we go, yes. I gotta remember that.
Yeah.
So,
your son does, it's if he does or says something that maybe you get irritated about, oftentimes, like if it's in relationships, you know, what I will have people do is not respond to the words or the behavior. Like, that's the external stuff. Get underneath it and ask yourself, okay, what's the motivation here? I'm responding to what this person said, but how is this person feeling? Is this person hurt? Is this person scared? Is this person angry? Why? Maybe I need to ask that question instead of just flying off the handle and assuming that he's or she is attacking me, and then now we're in this argument and in conflict when it's probably not necessary.
And that is so
very
true.
Good point.
So true much of the time. And so that's, I mean, all great points in addressing the mindset aspect of accessing our exponential potential, but then motivation is another factor
that goes along
with that. And so what factors influence motivation when someone is pursuing a goal?
Yeah, well, I think it's important to know and understand that because there are a lot of misperceptions about motivation. Motivation is not an accident. First, I think we need to acknowledge that. And there are multiple factors that influence it, like our mood, like the circumstances in our lives, like the level of responsibilities we have, like whether we've slept or not. And then there are bigger things like, did I choose this goal or did someone else tell me that it was important to pursue?
Yes.
Is this being forced upon me? Is this something that I really enjoy and that is connected to my values? Is it connected to who I believe I am as a person? Is it connected to my principles? Does this goal provide me with a sense of choice and autonomy? That affects motivation. Motivation is the sense of, you know, vitality and energy and vigor for pursuing something, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you guys think about the goals that you've set in your life that even if they get difficult, you are consistent through. Even if you fall down, you get back up. And even if it's hard, you're like, okay, I can do this. You know, oftentimes when we have a very connected, when we're really intrinsically connected to that goal, meaning it's attached to our values, it doesn't necessarily feel like work.
Yeah,
we do it for the pure joy of doing it.
Like cardio.
I love cardio.
I guess then,
exactly. Me getting up at 2:30 in the morning today because I couldn't sleep and immediately coming in after my pre-workout meal and jumping on my stationary bike, like, that was freaking fun.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, like, I'm like, I get to start my day now. And the whole world is asleep. No, but when I know how good I'm going to feel after that, when I know that pursuing this, being consistent through it, is going to lead to positive things, that's motivating for me.
So basically what you're saying then is if you're struggling that you need to tie things to a positive emotion. to help.
You know what? That is a very, very good point. If we're struggling, if we feel like we're trudging through quicksand, it doesn't necessarily mean that the goal is wrong for us.
Mm-hmm.
But it is worth asking the question, what is contributing to this feeling? And getting a better sense of it, becoming a bit more grounded. Did I not get enough sleep today? I mean, that's the thing. Like, just based on our mood, our motivation can wane, can wax and wane. And so we can't get locked into thinking that when our motivation is lower, that we should just give up and give up on the goal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'm going to go back to, because the biggest goal that I pursued recently was, and I know that I bring this up probably far too often, the biggest goal I completed recently was the PhD. And there were so many times, guys.
How can you not bring
that
up too much?
Well, it's such a, the reason why I do
that's
is because it's,
thing.
It offers so many examples of goal pursuit, you
but
know?
That's a great thing.
Well, I appreciate
you
that, Kaylin.
BK,
thank you.
BKP without that.
No, it'd just be plain old KP. That would suck.
Ouch. Ouch.
I like being DKP. I like that extra letter. That's.
I'm going to go in the corner and cry for a minute.
No,
a
no. That was awesome. But so, yeah, no. I'm like, if I could hug you right now, I really would. I'm hugging you through the phone lines, Kaylin.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's received. It's received.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so, like, there were so many times where I questioned whether I wanted to continue. There were so many times when I questioned, can I do this? When I questioned my capability, was I cut out for it? Did I have the stamina? Obviously, I finished. But, you know, I think what kept me going, one, I had some real, like, I made sure that I had good support. And I utilized it. We don't take advantage enough, I don't think, of the support people in our lives. We can't be isolated when we're pursuing something big. We can't. And that is the tendency for most competitors. Was for me.
That's true.
Yep.
You know, we hunker down, we isolate ourselves, we don't go out, we don't see people anymore, especially when we're deep, deep, deep in the diet. It's like, I can't do anything anymore. We're so super tired. And people energize us.
Mm-hmm.
Support gives us that sense that we belong and that, my goodness, like when I would compete and diet really hard, I mean, I would get really depressed. And so having friends and having support people was super imperative.
Yeah. That
I mean,
buffer.
I think it is at any time through the whole process to even get started, you know, you have to have those people there with you all the time. And that's, I mean, I guess that part of it gets underestimated a little bit, the value of having a truly truly real, I guess, you know, support group. I guess I don't have the right word there, but having
effective, strong people that understand you and that you feel heard by, that want to be a part of the process with you. And here's the other thing, you know, as I'm talking about this, that I think as competitors we can do very, very wrong is we make it all about us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it becomes,
my goodness.
It becomes so, so selfish. And everyone is supposed to change around us. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. It can't be that way. Like, if you want all your friends to leave you and if you don't want to have support, like, that's a great way to make that happen.
Immediately.
You know what I mean? This is all about me, guys. So you're either in or out.
That's right.
Right.
It's all about the food. It's all about the muscle. It's
guys?
All about the clothing suit
on.
And the tan.
Yeah. There you go. So we need to be, as competitors, starving ourselves and getting ready for a contest is no excuse for being an a-hole.
No. So
true.
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 Yeah. So true.
Zero excuse.
As with anything in life, no matter what it is that you're going through, it's really no excuse for being a jerk.
Yes.
It happens. Yes, it happens, but it's not an excuse.
It does happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah. That's another area I think that as competitive, do you guys, I mean, I could, man, we could go off on so many tangents here. Okay, I'm going to be quiet.
Yes.
Well, one thing I do want to bring up here, because I want to make sure that we definitely get this in before the show closes tomorrow. So we spent a lot of great time
tomorrow.
Tonight on questions. I'm not, well, before this show closes tonight, but what I'm referencing is happening tomorrow. And that is that DKP is going to be hosting a live follow-up Q&A on Periscope at 10 a.m. Pacific. So,
yes.
You know, like all of the questions you guys saved for us and we brought to this show tonight, you can take those same questions tomorrow or your different questions and discuss them directly with the good doctor on Periscope, 10 a.m. Pacific. And you can find her at Cori Propst. So KoriPropst. And if you're not registered for Periscope, go ahead and do it. It's a free app, and it'll notify you once you follow her when she's live, and you can listen in.
Thank you, Des. That was awesome. Yeah, I'm super excited. That hour went incredibly quickly, as it did last time. yes, definitely. Set up Periscope, guys, and I'll be live at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, Pacific time, and we'll dig in.
Yep.
That'll be fun.
And so, if you don't have any questions of your own, listen in anyway, because there are going to be a lot of other people on the line, and they're probably going to be asking some of the same things that you were thinking, but you weren't brave enough to ask yourself. So it'll still be worthwhile to join in.
Kaylin cracks me up. Like the chuckles come at the strangest places. I gotta know. I want to live in your brain for a little bit, dude.
Oh,
like, just hang out up there.
So happy.
Would it be scary or would it be happy?
No. There's unicorns. There's wild buffalo, antelope. I mean, it's just so pretty in there.
Unicorns and buffalo. Well, that's an interesting combo.
It is an interesting combination.
Well, see, here's the thing.
Usually unicorns
they
and butterflies.
All get along because of the hoof.
Oh, are they related?
No. They just have a lot in common.
Twice removed.
But you can eat buffalo. Can you eat unicorns?
Oh, my God.
You know, I think that would be something. Uh-oh.
I'll answer that on Periscope tomorrow.
There we go. Yeah.
How do you eat a unicorn?
I'm thinking about that.
Oh, my gosh. And are they rainbow flavored? I don't even know.
No, people, we are not on mushrooms right now. Promise. Okay.
Oh, no.
High on life. High on life.
Exactly.
Well, DKP, it's been another awesome show with you. I can't thank you enough for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
And hanging out and sharing the knowledge.
Yeah, it was fun, definitely. And maybe we can have Joe on here with me next time. We could do the joint thing. We'll get him.
And then now, if it's laughing this much, you can't say joint thing.
The joint thing?
Yeah,
I'm talking about hallucinogens and joints now. Yeah.
All right. All I can say with that, Cori, is thanks so much. You have a great night.
You guys too. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Right.
Bye.
So, Kaylin, you think we can hold it together for a supplement spotlight?
I sure can.
Okay.
Okay, are we ready for the supplement spotlight section?
We are ready.
Okay. Well, this tonight's supplement is the P4P Pure Creatine. And, you know, there's certain things that I thought I knew, but, you know, going on with learning about supplementation, there's certain things that basically you have an idea, but not enough. And, you know, it's, I think one scientist had told me once, you know, a little knowledge is a bad thing because we can take it in such bad areas of life because of our own understanding of what we thought we know. And creatine was one of them because actually it was, you know, it was something I knew about just because I'm a nerd and a geek, and that I knew you'd get it from steak and red meat. But it had been given this idea that it was something illegal. And I actually had a family member that had basically chastised me about ever getting on it because he was seeing the growth and the changes in my body because, you know, I was a pretty skinny kid from the beginning. So he figured, you know, there's something going on. He didn't understand what it was, but he knew something was changing in me. And it was basically just wanting to be healthy. So he told me if I ever did any kind of drugs, and this is an awkward moment because he had me pinned up against the wall and he was actually choking me to let me know the emphasis on how much he meant what he was saying. So, and he said the one thing that he would always understand if I was to do, it would be creatine. And I had to ask him, why? You know, and I know the benefits of it, but why would you just reinforce that? And he said because he knew it was legal, safe, and not harmful to the body if taken, you know, correctly. But that's in anything you take. So the creatine was something that I really started researching. And I got caught up in the idea, you know, that if you add something to it, then it becomes better. And I think Joe Manning was the one that basically really brought that home to me about what you take. And you start getting the fillers, which we've talked about in the past. But, you know, basically if you add something to it, you have to take away from the purity of what you're actually wanting. And when he told me about the pure creatine, I really had to take a double take because I realized just how pure it was. And I didn't have to have all the red meat in my diet. I could basically supplement it with an actual supplement and still get my required dosage. And it really does have benefits without all the, like I said, if we understand that our body is a machine and we're not clogging it up with fillers, which would basically be crap, we're actually getting what our body needs to and requires to function correctly. And this was one of those where it was like an immediate difference because I had been taking one of the creatines that had all the other, what you would think are amenities, but they're basically just clogging up everything that you're wanting from the creatine. And the effects were pretty much why I started coming out the year with the first, second, and third place placings because I didn't have, like BKP was talking about, the lag time, you know, the recovery, because my body didn't have to keep overworking on filtering out the crap that I was ingesting. So this was one of the benefits that I could really see, not when I say immediately, you know, we're talking about exercise-wise, so I'm not saying, you know, the next day. I'm talking about 2 weeks, you know, where it usually take a month. So, you know, for any lifter, you get what I'm saying. It's when I say a response, it's something noticeable that you're used to seeing a month from now or 2 months from now. This is something I was seeing basically overnight in 2 weeks, which was remarkable. And I was writing back to JB and Joe as much as possible because I was really excited about what they were doing and how it was actually affecting my life.
I mean, and that's always some amazing. I mean, any time that you get a truly good product, and I'm not just saying this just because of P4P muscle, but any time you come across a product that does what it is supposed to do and you see that reaction to it, it's just, you know, it's almost like you won the lottery because you're just like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know that this could happen. And so, you know, that's why you always want to be extra careful and really do your homework, as Kaylin talked about. And, you know, if it costs you extra, pay the extra because it's going to be to your benefit, whether it's you know, whatever the brand, P4P Muscle or what have you. But, I mean, just classic testimonial right there of what having a good, you know, pungent, clean product is going to do for you.
Yeah. I mean, basically you're getting what you pay for. And
yes.
A lot of times people think they're getting something, but they're getting less than what they pay for. And it's not really that I think the Walmart, Target was a good example where they got hit over the head because basically what they had on the label didn't match up to what people were consuming. And that's, you know, granted, it's just wrong. And, you know, with money being so tight and people working on such hard budgets, you really don't want to be robbing them blind for something that they're buying, thinking they're getting what they're getting. And it's such a downer. And, how many people have stopped exercising just because they realize, you know, I'm being cheated, and what else am I being cheated in? Because, you know, when the negativity comes in, like BKP was talking about, it can basically snowball and become an avalanche. And if that's what stops people from health and fitness, you know, my goodness. And it might seem like a small thing, but if you budgeted all that money and then find out everything you bought was crap, that is a downer, you know, and it will stop you from being fit, and it will stop you from being healthy, and it will stop you from, you know, basically growing to get past that moment you're in right now. But you figure if that's what it took at that time, then you've just lost somebody's good health and fitness. And you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're interested in more information about the creatine that Kaylin was just referencing or any of the other supplements that we've talked about during our supplement spotlight, you can check them out at p4pmuscle.com. And also just a couple of real quick reminders that Kaylin and the P4P crew are going to be at the Arnold later this week. So I know... The Arnold, we're going to have some live podcasting. We're going to have some live podcasting going on from there. I believe P4P is going to be booth. Is it 532? If memory
yes.
serves me correctly. So if you are going to be at the Arnold,
532.
Be sure they're going to have a DJ. They're going to have some cash prize giveaways, product sampling.
Hey, DJ. Hey, Mr. DJ. I'm sorry.
A lot of great information about being a natural athlete and snickerdoodle. Oh, my gosh. Do not. If you go there, you have to sample the snickerdoodle. Don't let Kaylin see you sneaking away without doing that. Remember the Q&A on Periscope tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time with Dr. Corey, and that's at Corey Props is where you can find her and follow her, so you're going to want to check that out there. Kaylin, before we close, do you have any last-minute thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, please, 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 if you don't get the chance to listen to her prior show, make, you know, afford yourself that time. And, you know, that'll basically help make this one more effective because we basically did, you know, piggyback off of that show because the questions that were asked were from the previous show going into this. And she does have the time. She does make the time to answer the questions. Just make sure they're legitimate because this is a business for her and this is her job. So, you know, make sure it's a good, effective questions and not just a waste of the time that she has afforded.
All right. There we go. So with that being said, on behalf of Kaylin, myself, and P4P Muscle, if your body is a temple, let's build it.